This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The first day of any season, especially baseball season.
Stiney.
Goo!
Stiney! Oh.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
It's a draft day tradition, an NBA draft day tradition. In for Mark Willard, Kevin Michael, Whitey Gleason. Thrilled to be with Dan Dibley. And Dibs, I don't know, people ask me a lot, Jockerty, we're going to do Jockerty. Hopefully we'll get some Jockerty together and get it back, back on track.
Yeah.
What do you care, right? You go down in history regardless as the greatest player in Jockerty history, it would seem.
Yes.
Although Bonte may disagree.
Of course he'll disagree. I mean, Bonte would always disagree with any notion that he's not the best at everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah. We'll eventually settle it on the battlefield. No, not like Anchorman, where we will meet with pitchforks and battle axes, but here in the battle world of Jockerty, I'm hoping we can bring it back. My vision was a Wednesday, a weekly Wednesday, and a rotating cast between,
I'm out on that.
I'm out. Guys, you need to wrap it up. This bit goes too long. I'm out. Bonte and Chasky, Willard and Dibbs, Steiny and Goo, Ratto and Damon, if interested. We can get your various Shamaris and Styleses and Devones. And
Damon loves Jockerty. Ratto can't stand it, by the way.
There's a shock.
Yeah.
God, I hate that bit. But yeah, I'd like to, bring it back and get kind of a rotating cast of characters and get some sort of 12-week run with some standings and then get a tournament of champions and see who's standing at the end.
It doesn't really vibe me at all.
Mix some celebrities in there even. Yeah, so we're working on it.
Yeah.
For the few of you, what's going on, Jack? We're working on it. On the text line here, on this NBA draft day, 888-957-9570, this from Aunt Will. Hey, Dibs. Hey, Whitey. Can we get stats on how many teams have turned late or second-round picks into Hall of Famers? It's not a very long list here, Aunt Will. Thanks for listening. In terms of the 28th pick, you got Tony Parker, he's not in the Hall of Fame yet, is he? Or is Tony Parker in the
No.
He's going to
no.
be if he's not. Yeah. You got 11 role players. This is the history of the 28th pick. Tony Parker, 11 role players that played 10 years. You got 28 to play fewer than that. Poole would be in that bunch now, but obviously he's probably going to end up closer to Tony Parker. Then you got 5 who never played in the NBA. So slim pickings, Dibs, as far as the 28th pick go, but that's hardly a surprise.
Yeah, it's hardly a surprise. And just when you look at the long list of second round picks who have been in the Hall of Fame, it's not that long. I just clicked on an article, top 50 second round picks of all time. And just, some of the names, and some of these guys are either Hall of Fame or close, like Jerome Kersey was a second round pick. Steve Kerr, by the way, second round pick. He will be in the Hall of Fame, but I don't know if he necessarily is what we're talking about in this bit. I don't think Steve Kerr would have made the Hall of Fame if it wasn't for the coaching portion of the program. But and I think Damon Bruce had this stat when they had Steve on the other day. Steve Kerr has won 9 of the last, 33 NBA titles.
Wow.
If you think about it. When you think about it in those terms, he got the 6 with Chicago. He got 3 with Chicago. He got 2 with San Antonio. And then now 4 with Golden State. I think he's gotten 27% of the NBA championship since he started as a rookie in the 80s.
Any player or player coach who wins multiple championships and does it with different teams, to me, that's more impressive. Maybe it shouldn't be, but like Phil Jackson doing it with the Bulls and the Lakers, Steve Kerr as a player with the Bulls and the Spurs, and then as a coach with the Warriors, to me, if somebody can do it, and Rodman too, if you can do it with more than one team, he did, of course, Detroit and Chicago, that to me is even more impressive.
Absolutely, and especially you know, when you're a winning player and you're able to go and win a couple of chips. And I know he wasn't as integral with San Antonio as he was a key part of the Chicago run. But still, when you're that late in your career and teams want you, you don't often want a guy in his mid-30s if he is a troublemaker, a problem child, a miscreant, and all the rest of it. So to me, that's a feather in Steve's cap that San Antonio would want him to be that kind of a player off the bench at that point in his career.
Tomorrow on the show, I'll be in for Mark Willard again tomorrow, and we're going to talk to Kirk Lacob about whatever the Warriors do. So looking forward to that tomorrow. Also want to thank today's guest, Howard Terminal, for joining us.
We appreciate that.
Before we get back to the meat and potatoes of the draft, Dibs, what comes to mind, and this is a bit that I actually had in mind last year, a year ago, although it wasn't quite a year ago when we had the draft because of COVID and everything. If you're going to pick a player for the Warriors from a basketball movie, a movie character that you're going to draft for the Warriors, which way are you going?
From a basketball movie?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, I think, you know, Teen Wolf, I think there's a lot of upside there to Teen Wolf. Young, cheap, and just very versatile, although I guess you never know if he's going to be a wolf tonight or not.
Yeah,
just
and
guy.
Also you're pretty good at guard right now. He'd have to be your fourth guard, so I don't know. You know, you've got Stephen Clay and you've got Jordan Poole. I was thinking about maybe the Shaq character from Blue Chips, whose name escapes me, because like Jimmy Chitwood from Hoosiers, you already have a lot of shooting, so I don't think that Jimmy would be necessarily the pick you would look to make. Robbie Benson from One-on-One, as I really date myself. Again, kind of a gritty guard. Think you already have that covered. He'd be duplicitous on this roster.
Right. Okay. So you're sending Teen Wolf to the G League?
Yeah, without a doubt. I think Teen Wolf gets sent to the G League.
Jackie Moon gets a mention.
For some additional grooming.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Kyrie Irving thing, right, with the with vaccination. Like, Teen Wolf, we got a big game tonight, but we don't know if he's going to be a werewolf tonight or not. So,
Too risky. Depends if it's a home game or not, you know, much like Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
And, man, the vaccination of Andrew Wiggins turned out to be one of the biggest plays that they made as a team. Because, you know, if Andrew would have continued to be reluctant, hesitant, defiant about getting the vaccine, how would that have ended with his, you know, his time here with Golden State? Because basically the organization and he got to a point where it's like, dude, you need to do this. Or he said, look, all right, I'll do it. However, that finally got resolved. The fact that it got resolved turned out to be a huge play for this team.
Mm-hmm. And that speaks to his personality, right? That the Warriors, it sounds like, Dibs, please tell me if you disagree. Publicly, oh, we support him, whatever he wants. Privately, he's like, dude, you have to do this.
Right. We don't do that here. And, you know, if you want to be defiant, if you want to be an unvaccinated person, then you're going to have to do it somewhere else. Because, you know, as an organization and really as an area, I think that the Bay Area, and I'm kind of guessing here, but I would imagine our vaccination rate as a greater Bay Area is higher than the national average. Mm-hmm. And it seems like the ethos of the organization, the Golden State Warriors, is one of, look, we're getting vaccinated, so you need to get on board with this, or you know, you can go elsewhere.
Bugs Bunny, by the way, from Space Jam, getting a mention. Yeah. Shaq was Neon Badeau. Is that right?
Yeah. That sounds about right.
Ernie from Concord, that bench player from Flubber. And then somebody wants to mention Coolidge from The White Shadow, which was a TV show, Dibs.
I think I'll allow it, though. And Coolidge, as you know, the actor who played Coolidge went to Santa Fe High School. So he's got Bay Area roots, yeah.
Speaking of the Bay Area, by the way, Jalen Williams, Santa Clara, 6'7". A lot of lottery buzz that Jalen Williams from Santa Clara could go pretty high in the draft. So that's something else to keep an eye on going forward.
Yeah, and I do like the draft for that very part of it, the whole... Like, we all remember Abaji from Kansas. We saw him through the tournament. We saw him in the final. And so it's like, oh, this is a guy. So when he comes up tonight in the draft and he's a projected lottery pick, you can look and say, I remember him. And then there's other guys who, what? I've never heard of him. And then let's go to Fran Fischilla for the overseas report. You know, he played in Serbia as a under 16s. And
he's amazing.
So it's a mix of, yeah, I've heard of him, and get to know your draft picks. And, you know, sadly for me, Jalen Williams is a part of that latter group, 6'6", shooting guard, small forward. I don't remember watching a ton of Santa Clara hoop this year.
And it's just a fact, with only two rounds now in the NBA draft, when they used to, I think they used to have like seven rounds way back when.
Yeah.
But with only two rounds, there's guys that aren't going to get picked tonight that are still going to have professional basketball futures, maybe even long-term NBA futures.
And I think that the NBA should go to a bigger draft, maybe go to three rounds, if not four, and then those players just become part of your G League team. Now, every team has a G League team, right? Are we at the point where all 30?
I have to double check that. I think that's right, but I'd have to double check.
Yeah. And I thought, as a part of that, you know, it would be a good way to flesh out the draft a little bit. You don't have to do like the NFL and go all the way to seven rounds, or MLB, which used to be like 50 rounds and isn't as much anymore, but at least to give teams the ability to get a guy in and, you know, pay him a little bit and put him down in the G League.
Okay. So as you look at the Warriors and where they want to stay and how they want to improve for next year and what they have and their assets, tonight with a 28th pick, to what extent, Dibs, would, if you're making the decision, would Wiseman's situation play into what you're doing? Obviously, we don't know who's going to be there. I think if I have a chance to take a big, as we've discussed, I'm doing that, especially if I can trade back into the second round and get a big, a legitimate big. I think I need size. I hope Wiseman is going to be everything that I dreamed he could be when I drafted him. At this point, we know it's possible that he won't be. Hopefully he will be, but I could see how it would be nice to have a little more size. I don't even think they had anybody taller than 6'10 last year at Santa Cruz, if I'm not mistaken. So to me, I see that as an organizational need. On the other hand, you could say, well, look at last year. They weren't very big and they still won a championship. But that would be at or near the top of my list, adding size.
I would put that in my second round wish list, because you don't want to have to bring in another big that you're going to have to pay a guaranteed contract to as a first round pick, and then somebody you're going to want to keep around. It is nice to have that sort of flexible roster when you get into a series against, you know, Utah with Rudy Gobert, and you get into a series with Phoenix, DeAndre Ayton, assuming he is still there. It's nice to be able to play in different ways against different teams. And we saw that a little bit with the way Steve Kerr used Otto Porter Jr. in the finals. They put him in the starting lineup.
Yeah, because I still don't know why exactly. Do you?
I mean, really? Matchup-wise, he was a little bit more of a dynamic offensive threat. And, you know, the defensive step down from Kevon Looney isn't that pronounced. And I think it gave you that first quarter floor spacing that Kevon Looney doesn't give you as much on the offensive end.
Mm-hmm. Just looking for some mismatches there. And how much do you have to look at replacing some of the guys that are going to be free agents? Hopefully you can keep Payton and Poole and Looney, but you may have to be considering, all right, is there anything we can do at the draft that would prepare us for the departure of one of these guys? Those guys are so unique, it's hard to, and I know a caller earlier said, hey, they need to go out and find a defensive-minded guard. You know, you just don't go out and find a GP2, for example. Looney's a very unique player. That also gets back to size again. Porter, it's hard to do that, but that may also be a concern if they have some inclination or some idea that they may not be able to keep everybody.
Yeah, and I think that's the way you have to go into the draft. If you're Bob Myers and company, you look at all the free agents and you play the worst-case scenario game and say, what if we can't keep Looney, Porter Jr., Payton II, any of these guys? What if they all go elsewhere and the only roster we have is the eight guys we know about and, you know, whoever we're going to take tonight? And then, of course, future free agents. So I actually liked what that caller said about finding a defensive specialist type of player. Kendall Brown out of Baylor. He's projected to go early in the second round, 6'7". He can play the two and the three. He is an excellent defender. And you remember watching Baylor, Whitey. It seemed like all those guys were elite defenders. And Kendall Brown is one of them. Jump shot is not quite where it needs to be for this team, and he's going to take some seasoning. But the thing about this roster and this team coming up in this season, you don't have minutes for anybody anyway.
Right.
So you look at Kendall Brown, a guy who...
How big is he? Sorry?
He's 6'7". 6'7", 200.
Whoa.
He's got he's got good size, good athleticism, great potential. And it just dawned on me, he is 5 days older than my youngest son.
What?
That's what it's come to now, Whitey.
Mm-hmm.
He's 19.
Yeah.
So you take a 19-year-old and you figure it's a draft and stash, but you stash him in Santa Cruz. And you have the ability to bring him up when need be. And you think about 3 or 4 or 5 years from now when Kendall Brown would be 24, Wiseman would be 25, and Kuminga
Ooh, yeah.
and Moody and
Ooh.
Poole's 27.
Yeah.
Two timelines, baby. So
yeah.
I'm looking at drafting not a ready-made guy, but a young guy with a lot of upside who can play defense.
It seems to me that there's more stigma than there used to be on guys that are a little older, guys that come out of college. Now, we mentioned some of the Warriors' potential picks. Like Caleb Houston from Michigan is 19. Christian Braun from Kansas is 21. E.J. Liddell from Ohio State, 21. Max Christie from Michigan State is 19. You mentioned Kendall Brown. Some of the guys are a little older, it seems like, for scouts. First of all, you really don't know how good he is because he's playing against much younger guys. There was a time when an older player, relatively speaking, coming out of college, hey, this guy's more developed, more experienced, and now there seems to be more of a, he's past his expiration date already. If a guy's like 22.
Yeah, it just depends on the team and, how they think that this player can come in and help, because if you take a guy at 22 – and you take him high in the first round, and you figure you got 5 years, 4 or 5 years. Well, this is about it, because by the time they get to 27, now they're going to be getting into that next big contract. But if you draft a guy at 19, and like Edwards in Minnesota, or one of these younger players, one of the various balls, and you pick them and they pop, now they're only 21, and you sign them to that second deal, then you can get them for a third contract before they turn 30.
On the Comcast Business text line here, 888-957-9570, some movie character suggestions for the draft. 510, Jesus Shuttlesworth. Warriors run a motion offense. He'd fit in perfectly with
the
Dubs.
That's a good call. Yeah.
You know what's great about that movie is the scene where Ray Allen's playing Denzel one-on-one in the script.
Rucker Park.
Ray Allen's supposed to destroy him. And when they start playing, Denzel's playing for real. And you can see at one point Ray Allen's kind of smiling like, what? Because he's not supposed to do that. But Denzel, who played, I think, at Fordham, he actually played a little bit. He actually plays. The script says he's supposed to get destroyed, but he wasn't having any part of that.
No, and that's a great scene, the interplay between the two, because obviously Denzel's such a great actor. And, Ray Allen, I thought, did a nice job as Jesus Shuttlesworth. Probably not much of a stretch for a basketball player to play the role of a basketball player, but I thought he did a nice job. Rick Fox was good in that movie, too.
Yeah, from the 510, Phoenix apparently dumped its G League team. Sarver is a skinflint, pardon me, so I don't know if all the teams have G League teams right now. Yeah, 818, how about the Dr. J character from The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh? That's Henry and San Ramon going way, way back.
Way back.
And from the 402, Jamal Wallace from Finding Forrester. You're the man now, dog.
Okay.
I don't want Jamal Wallace because I love the movie, but I believe he missed a free throw on purpose to prove a point or something. I don't want that guy on my roster.
It's point shaving is what that is.
Yeah. Make your free throw so we can win the game. Whatever point you need to make, make it off the floor. Okay? I don't want Jamal Wallace.
Yeah. I don't think I ever saw that movie.
Oh, that's
Finding
really good.
Forrester. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You're the man now, dog. With, of course, the great... Sean Connery.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Tibbs. So, Wiseman, the reality is you got a guy here that you have high hopes for, but you don't know what you have in Wiseman. So, you don't seem as concerned by that as I am. And I guess the wisdom there would be, look, we went through it last year. We thought that we would have Wiseman. We didn't have him. By the time we found that out, we didn't have time to go get somebody. And we still won the sinking championship. But if you have any reason to think Looney's not going to be around, then I would think you definitely want to address that position in the draft.
Yeah, and I think you can, grab a center late, just a body and see. And you were talking about Karlo Matković from Croatia.
Was I?
I thought that was you. From Bosnia and Herzegovina, 6'9", 240, good athleticism,
sure,
good size, 21 years old, so he's been around the block a time or two. His NBA comp, Isaiah Hartenstein. So, you know, you're not looking at an absolute game changer, but somebody who can help you.
The Warriors wanted him before last year, and he didn't want to sign with them. He ended up going to the Clippers.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. You may be onto something there.
Yeah, and this is according to NBADraft.net. It's just a straight lift. It's not a steal because I'm giving credit. It's a lift. Carlo Matkovich.
Yeah.
Or Matkovich, depending on
from
what side
of Croatia
he's
from. And Herzegovina.
Not just Bosnia.
Yeah. He's that tall. He's that big. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. And I know we mentioned this earlier, Dibs, that Steve Kerr said when the Warriors won the championship, he said this may be the unlikeliest of them all. And I don't even know that it's the Warriors' most unlikely championship, but putting it in perspective of all the Bay Area championships, I think we agree that the 49ers' first championship, and I know it's going back a ways to 81, probably the most unlikely, because to that point, the 49ers were just, it's the 49ers. They were really bad. For them to win a Super Bowl seemed to come out of nowhere.
Yeah. I mean, they were not only really bad, they were historically bad. They were embarrassingly bad. They were a laughingstock. And, you know, they turned it around. 1980, you go 6-10. And, you know, Bill Walsh as the coach was yet to be anointed as any sort of a genius. And you look at their roster, and it was not really that good of a roster. You didn't have a ton of good players. And so going into the next year, you thought, all right, just going to be another one of those years. And then you come out and you just kept winning. You win and you win. You go 13-3 and you go on to win the Super Bowl. To go from 6-10 to 13-3 is one thing, but then to culminate it by knocking off Dallas, who had owned you in the postseason for the previous two decades, and then go on and still be able to win the Super Bowl in that fashion, that was truly a shocker.
Bill Walsh got credit for the West Coast offense, which a lot of that was him taking the previous West Coast offense, which had been more vertical, and he stretched it out horizontally, the old five-yard handoff, and had a lot of success with that and was credited for inventing it, when really he just kind of adjusted what was already there. Offensive genius. Given what the Warriors have done, JD and I were talking about this a few weeks ago, given what the Warriors have done and the way they've been at the forefront of the three-point shot becoming so much more important to winning basketball, can we put Steve Kerr on that plateau with Bill Walsh as a coach that helped not only win championships, but change the way the game was played?
I think you can. And it helps that, you know, that he has a player that was single-handedly equipped to change the game. If you didn't have Steph Curry, if you ended up with Monte Ellis and you didn't draft Steph Curry because you didn't think the two could play together. I know the draft happened before Joe Lacob or Steve Kerr was even thinking about being on the Warriors, but if Steph Curry never happened with the Golden State Warriors, do they still have the ability to, quote, change the game? I don't think that they do. And so that's not to say Steve Kerr doesn't deserve credit for that, because he does, but I think Steph Curry is the real game changer. And looking at the Niners, could Bill Walsh have come up with the West Coast offense with a quarterback other than Joe Montana? That's probably more likely to me than Steve Kerr changing the game without Steph Curry.
Yeah, but he did have the perfect guy for it, or near
he
perfect
did.
Guy.
Smart,
and he recognized
and,
that.
Yeah, smart, and the ability to make the throws necessary and get it done. Whitey, just one more on that Niner team.
Yeah.
They won 15 of their last 16. They started the year 1-2, a loss to Atlanta in September. You got blown out in Atlanta.
Wow.
So if they had sports talk in at that point of the year, Bill Walsh would be getting ripped. You lose 34-17 at Atlanta, and then you go on to win four in a row. Then you win by three straight field goal wins. You lose to Cleveland, and then you won by two and by seven. There were some nail biters in there, so it's not like they were a dominant 13-3.
Coming up next, who's looming largest in the Dubs rear view on this draft day? It's Willard and Dibs, Whitey in for Willard, and that'll all be brought to you by the Department of Healthcare Services.
Two cheeks.
outside.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Kevin Michael, Whitey Gleason, in for Mark Willard on this NBA Drafts Day. Thank you for listening. Thanks for your participation on the Comcast Business text line, 888-957-9570. Matsuyama Mike says, great to hear the Ride Guts together again. And he points out, Dibs, NBA Draft Night used to be the Warriors' championship, used to be the most important day on the Warriors' NBA calendar.
Yeah, Secaucus used to be our Hawaii as Warrior fans because, you know, the NBA Draft Lottery was always a big, big night for us. You know, who's going to represent us? Are the balls going to go our way?
Yeah.
Hoping for a clean edit for Spadoni. Actually, I think Bonte and Butcher had a couple good ones this morning. Hopefully we were able
those
to cap
balls.
Yeah, we like to capture people in moments out of context here. We're childish.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? From the 707, Kevin
Garnett
talking about... I got to
ask you about the sticky substance on the balls.
That's one of my favorites.
Talking about movie characters from basketball movies that you would draft from 707. That's from Mikey Dubs. Is Kevin Garnett playing Kevin Garnett from...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Cut gems, solid pick for size. 925 Jackson from the show Oz, played by Rick Fox, playing a troubled professional basketball player. I think you mentioned Rick Fox already, right?
Yeah.
You're in the brotherhood of actors that were in basketball movies.
Yeah, exactly. Having appeared in the 1998 turn of Flubber, starring Robin Williams, my former coworker, rest in peace. Yeah, I played bench player number 11. In that movie. I didn't actually get any time on the floor, which is one of the bad beats of my career, Whitey, because when we were starting filming, I was slated to be one of the five players on the nerd team. I was the big man. I was the five. I was the center. Our team was, I mean, I'm only 5'9", but these guys who were acting with me were all tiny and bespeckled, and then there's the one huge guy. And at the last second, they decided to write some dialogue in for my character, and thus they needed an actor, and thus I got put on the bench.
No.
It's a bad beat, yeah.
Did you protest?
No, I mean.
You say, I could do it.
Ultimately, you do what the coach says, you know, you're a team player.
All right.
Dibs, are you getting any royalties from now that it's on Disney Plus Flubber?
No royalties.
Nothing in the known?
No spoken lines, no royalties, no mention in the credits.
Was there something that you did, if I remember correctly, where you were hoping you would get more screen time, you gesticulated more, or you did something?
Yeah, there's a big timeout. Right? So we're down 57 to 3 at halftime, and you know, we come out of the locker room, and Robin Williams flubberizes the guys who were playing, and so now all of a sudden we got flubber, and we turned that game around. So late, I think we'd cut it to 1, and the red team calls timeout, and so we go to huddle up. And, you know, they got a camera shooting the huddle when Robin Williams comes down and tries to tell one of my teammates to not take the flubber tacks off his shoes. So while Robin's down there, you can see me in the huddle. I'm like whack-a-mole, popping my head up to the left, to the right. I am craning my neck to make sure I get as much airtime as possible.
Can I ask how much you got for that at the time?
Yeah, it was $200 a day because I was a featured extra. And we filmed for about 18 days at Treasure Island in San Francisco.
Ooh.
So, plus, what you don't realize is that every time you have to go to wardrobe, which, you know, you went to wardrobe like 4 or 5 times. We had a scene where we're on our street clothes, the pregame speech, where, you know, he's giving us a pep talk. And so that was a wardrobe day. And wardrobe days were like $40. So it all kind of quietly added up a little bit.
Yeah, that's nice.
Plus, they had three meals a day and craft services on set. So in between takes, you could go over and, you know, tell the guy in craft services, hey, let me get a baked potato with sour cream and chives.
Did you abuse the privileges?
Oh, my God. Fat.
Cash me out one time.
Your boy was eating like a king. And the thing is, and I don't want to spend the whole show talking flubber, but it is summertime. When Robin Williams and the other actors, like the real actors, when they'd be on set, because they weren't there every day. Some days, you know, we'd be filming scenes that they didn't need to be involved in. So they were elsewhere at other locations filming their stuff. So in a movie, you have three different crews. There's the first, the second, and the third crews, basically. When the third crew was doing our scenes, our takeout food was like pizzas. When Robin Williams and company were there, it was like crack crab and smoked salmon.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So those were the good days when you ate well. Hell yeah.
Yeah. And that's streaming now, Spadoni, on Disney Plus?
Yeah. Oh.
Certainly is, along with many other classics like Fox and the Hound.
Oh.
Boy. Peter Pan.
And that was the beginning. From there, you went on to be on Wheel of Fortune and Curb Appeal.
Yeah, HGTV's Curb Appeal came first. Yeah. Actually, 10 years ago. Yeah. Today, they were doing the construction at the old house.
I remember. Yeah.
That one was a $20,000 hit.
Yeah.
I got $20,000 of free home improvement.
Yeah. Remember that well? Remember those days when the Warriors were, you know, the draft was the biggest day of the year, but now it's a whole different deal?
No.
Yeah, Wheel of Fortune was 4K. It was a 4K hit. So
I got to tell you, that was a tough watch. I mean, I can't imagine what it was like to be in there. It was just like, oh, my goodness, can't catch a break.
Three spins of bankrupt, and that ultimately derailed me.
Yeah, surprise Easter. I was sure it was surprise Easter.
Yeah, my puzzle game was on point. Jennifer Aniston was a $3,000 win. That was nice.
Nice.
And
nice.
The beauty of that is... So when you're done filming the episode, you go upstairs to accounting and you basically just sign at the bottom of a form. And then 6 weeks later, you get a check in the mail. That's a nice check to get.
Yeah, I guess.
It's a nice one. Yes. Even a meager 4K.
I thought you were going to get more than that, but I guess it all worked out.
I guess.
All right. As the Warriors get ready for the draft, Dibs, who, as you look around the league, you know, Steve Kerr said yesterday, we think we'll be better. Well, you got to be better because everybody else, except the teams that are tanking, they're trying to get better too. So who concerns you the most? I know we don't have free agency yet. We don't even have the draft. We're not sure what the rosters are going to look like. To me, I still – Memphis is a team that I guess fear, I'll say respect – the most at this point. I see as the biggest threat.
Absolutely. And I would put the Clippers close on that list.
Ooh,
and that, of
nice.
Course, is that's pending Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard, yeah.
Because he has to be back to be healthy in order for them to really be a threat. But to me, I think about what kinds of teams give the Warriors the biggest problem. And Memphis, when they had Ja, they were giving the Warriors a lot of problems because they're very fast and they're athletic and they can defend. And we saw the same thing from Boston. The Celtics gave the Warriors a lot of problems because they're young, they're athletic, and they can also defend. So the Clippers maybe not as young, but they're a lot deeper than many people realize. So for me, it would go Memphis, the Clippers, and the long shot team that worries me, Minnesota.
I was just going to say them. Yeah. Yeah.
Anthony Edwards is a problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Phoenix, I think, is probably in decline, and Chris Paul is... seen better days. We'll see. We don't know what's going to happen with Ayton, as you mentioned. Dallas, to me, Luke is overrated. And I know he's a fine player. He does a lot of good things, but he doesn't defend, and he's not a good shooter, and he's ball dominant. He's tough to play with. They may get Gobert, by the way, so we'll see. They don't really worry me. They're not a bad team, I know, but I don't see him as being at that level yet. And I think Utah, I think that thing's coming apart at the seams. I don't think you need to worry about Utah.
Yeah, and I think Denver is a team that you have the right mix of defenders to be an elixir for what Denver tries to do.
Although if Jamal Murray's back and he's close to Jamal Murray, you got to keep an eye on that.
That's a big injury, though, and so you know, usually takes a year to come back from an injury like that, so I don't know how quickly he'll be able to be and if he can ever be back to being the Jamal that he once was. And you know, the rest of the teams, the non-playoff teams, even New Orleans, I like New Orleans. They have a good core, but you're going to have to show me that you can be healthy enough and consistent enough to pose a problem.
What if Zion's back, huh? Look out if Zion's back.
I love Zion, but I just don't know if he can stay healthy. I mean, his body is not built for an 82-game NBA journey. I mean, what is he, 6'11", 300? And he plays like a guard, though, is the thing.
Yeah, he's the anti-Chet Holmgren, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. All right. So, looking forward to seeing what the Warriors what the Warriors do tonight.
Yeah, the Warriors are going for one for the thumb. We know that.
What's coming up here?
Coach,
on
congratulations, and I guess if things go your way, we'll see you back here. One for the thumb, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't need one. I only got four fingers, so I'm good.
See, I don't think that was bad. You didn't know that, and it led to a funny moment.
I should have known that. If I would have done my homework, I could
have. If you knew it, you still should have said it. That's what I'm saying.
Well, then I would have said it and tried to be funny about it. Well, Coach, I know you only have four fingers, so you don't win one for the thumb. Are you going to go to the other hand?
Mm-hmm.
At least I would have been on the offense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Pick Your Battles is coming up next. It's Willard and Dibs, Whitey in for Willard, and that'll be brought to you by the Department of Healthcare Services on 95.7 The Game.
Guardiola, who plays it deep, Saifi with a header. Howard gratefully claims it. Distribution, brilliant. Landon Donovan, there are things on here for the USA. Can they do it here? Cross, and Dempsey's denied again, and Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this? Go, go, USA! Certainly through! Oh, it's incredible! You could not write a script like this!
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Whitey in for Willard today. This is Willard and Dibs. We play that because one of the most brilliant and favorite sports memories of our own Joe Spadoni. Right, Spadone? Where did you see that happen?
I saw that in Times Square, New York City, summer of 2010. It was pretty incredible. Yeah, we were over there for my cousin's wedding, me and the fam, and just happened to be walking downtown, and they had it on one of the big screens there at Times Square. Place erupted. It was one of the coolest memories I'll ever have in sports history.
12 years ago today, right?
Indeed, wow. 12 years. Yeah. I was going into my senior year of high school.
Wow. And the vuvuzelas in the background.
Oh, I love the vuvuzelas,
yeah,
dude.
South Africa. What a great theme song, too. Was it Shakira? Africa. I give myself three.
It's a solid three. And I'll give you, like, you give me all the time with my references. I don't know.
Well, that's really cool. A favorite sports memory of a game that he didn't actually attend, Dibs.
No, but I actually like that because, you know, not every sporting event we can attend and not every sporting event has to be memorable only if we attend it. I remember where I was during the David Tyree helmet catch, for example, which is one of those moments that in the Super Bowl, obviously I wasn't at the Super Bowl. I was at a friend's former boyfriend's house out in Oakley, the first time I'd ever been to Oakley, and it's just one of those things that I'll always remember where I was when that moment happened.
I remember the 2012 World Series and watching it, I think it was game one with you at Lefty O'Doul's. And I remember Pablo Sandoval hitting the two home runs off of Verlander and the look on Verlander's face like, you got to be kidding me. And Zito beating Verlander in game one of the 2012 World Series, Dibs.
Yeah, man, you're bringing me back right now. Lefty O'Doul's. And in another not so glamorous memory, I remember being with our old program director.
God, I hate that.
Yeah, everyone does. Guys, Dibs, I want to meet you before we start the station. So I met him. I met him at Jillian's down there right by Moscone Center. And that was the day that Scott Cousins ran over Buster Posey.
Oh, my goodness.
So I remember sitting with and we're watching the game, and, you know, it happens, and it's like, oh, my God, Buster, get up. Buster, get up. And he goes, that doesn't look too good. I got to go to the bathroom. It's a true story. And he goes to the bathroom, and I'm watching this going, this is my new boss, and Buster Posey, I don't think he's going to pull through on this one. He doesn't look too good.
Yeah. I remember, well, we were down there, right? Spring training the next year.
Oh, boy. Money radio.
Yeah. And I remember, and it was, you know, Dennis O'Donnell, who I've known for a long time. We went to the same school, SF State.
Yep.
And he was asking Buster, it was spring training, he was asking Buster a question about his injury. And I forget exactly the way he phrased it. He didn't mean anything by it. But Buster bristled. He's like, do you realize how badly I was hurt? And that was, you know, before we knew if Buster was going to come back. And I remember he really, you know, Buster wasn't like that. He really took offense at the notion that maybe it wasn't as major of an injury as we thought. And then, of course, he went on and had that great year. And the rest is history. I thought, you know, we talked earlier, Dibs, about the most unlikely of the championships.
Yeah.
To me, 2014 Giants, that was really unlikely because 2010, I was like, wow, they did it. 2012, that was a really good team. 2014, I remember they qualified as a wild card team. And there were some Giants fans who were like, yeah, big deal. They're what? Remember, because that was a Dan Ugla year.
Yeah.
And they had Jake Peavy.
Dan Ugla.
Yeah. And then for them to win that year, to me, that was the biggest surprise. And because they just weren't expected to be that good in the postseason.
And that's why I love the idea of a Warriors game 7 in the series, even though I know it would have been a lot for people to handle. But the Madison Bumgarner performance in 2014 in game 7 is all the more special because it was in game 7. If that was in, you know, game 4 and the Giants went on to sweep, obviously, you wouldn't probably bring him in that spot in game 4 because, you know, you have games behind it still, and I get that part of it. But the fact that it was game 7 made it feel even more spectacular.
From the 925, I watched the World Series 2012 game 1 in Afghanistan at 2 a.m. in the morning. Yeah, that was that game that I mentioned with Zito over Verlander and Pablo Sandoval with the 2 home runs.
Yeah, those are the memories, though, and that's where, you know, and I think about the World Cup and Spadoni playing the Landon Donovan. And I remember being at a spot for the earlier game in that World Cup. And a lot of times the World Cup are, those games are ones that you can kind of attach memory to because it feels like everybody becomes a soccer fan, even guys like you, Kev. And I know you're not a huge soccer guy, but when the USA faces England this year in the World Cup, the day after Thanksgiving, I would imagine that you'll at least be aware of it, and probably you'll be watching it.
I can't wait. When is it again?
The day after Thanksgiving, Kevin.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
Trying to help you break the Whitey moniker here.
Also known as Black Friday for Whitey over here.
Oh, there's some irony.
Right, right, right. All right, Dibs. At this point, I know we're going to talk to Steiny and JD today. JD is in
Guru
for the great
and JD.
Guru. Oh, is it Guru and JD?
Yeah.
I apologize. Thank you, Guru and JD.
No, normally, if you know you make a mistake like that, I would jump on you. But I've decided to pick my battles a little bit better. And
let's do it.
Yeah,
it's a 4 for the transition.
That's my Mark Willard right there. We always try to transition into the bit, and Spadoni plays the Elvis tune off the top, and we get ready to go. Whitey and I appreciate. Sorry, Kevin. I appreciate you stepping in and picking for Mark today, who's on vacation. This is the last pick of an already decided 10-pick cycle, but we've got a possible record that could be broken. Joey Spadoni is 8-1. No picker has ever gone 9-1 in a 10-week cycle, so Spadoni's pick will come last as he tries to break a record. Mark Willard and I, 6-3. We're both safe. Kyle Madsen is the donut buyer. He is 4-5, trying to get back to 500, and Spadoni provides us with Kyle's pick.
Hot take Jake, otherly known as Kyle Madsen, has taken the White Sox on the run lines. That's -1.5 versus the putrid Baltimore Orioles.
Okay, lock that up and lock it in. Let me begin. That's a pick. Kyle's been running cold, and Whitey, we got to thank Kyle because he intentionally was picking Boston in order to put the whammy on the Celtics and allow the Warriors to win.
I don't know about that one. By the way, I shortchanged, speaking of the World Series, Pablo Sandoval had 3 home runs in that 2012 game 1. I only gave him credit for 2, the 2
Show
I believe
artist.
Are Verlander. But overall, yes, and thank you for everybody on the text line. Actually, I had 3 that game, Dibs,
okay.
And I apologize if Pablo's listening.
Nah, he's all right. He'll be able to shake that off. $95 million from Boston made all of that okay. Willard picked second. Willard didn't pick, so Kev That means you get to step up and step in for Mark Willard.
I think they're going against Robbie Ray, which is a tall task. Give me Frankie Montas and the A's on the money line against the Seattle Mariners, Dibs.
Montas money line for Mark Willard. This will be the only time ever Mark Willard, by the way, picks the A's. So this is perfect. Willard is team A's today. I go next, and I'm going college baseball. I bet against them yesterday, and boy, it was a tight one to the finish. But Arkansas beat Ole Miss. They have to beat them twice to advance, and I think Arkansas will beat Ole Miss twice. I was wrong on Ole Miss yesterday. I'm going to be right on Arkansas today. Give me Arkansas on the money line. Spadone, chance at history.
Chance at history, Dibs. I'll probably choke, though. But we'll go as well. I'm actually going to the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum myself. And it's not looking good for the A's. But I think they score some runs today, just enough, Whitey. So I'm going over 3.5 runs scored total through the first 5 innings. So that's both teams. They just have to combine for 4 runs today in the first 5 innings. It's going to be a toasty one out there at the Collie.
That's a lock.
I love it. There it is.
Lock that one down, Dibs.
Pick 10 in a 10-pick cycle. Pick your battles. Tomorrow is a Donut Friday, which can only mean one thing. It's also a Payday Friday. And you know that just by watching Daryl the Guru Johnson bound into the studio. Mr. Direct Deposit himself, joined by my homie, John Dickinson. Fellas, what's going on this beautiful Thursday?
You know, it's just we're blessed. And I'll tell you this. I got 3 kids. And I say,
and a bunch of problems.
Look at you.
Thank you.
And Whitey, it's always good to see and listen to you. But I told John Dickinson this. I hate that I have the disease of payday is Christmas Eve. I want to be like Steiny and, oh, it's payday. That's when you're
doing
it
right. I didn't even
notice. You know what I mean? Right. Not like biting your nails. It's payday. Whitey, I got a finance class. I fell asleep, man.
That's all right. It's good to be excited about things. By the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey station, and it's time for the changeover. Brought to you by Oakland PD Recruitment. Be the change you want to see. Guru JD, what kind of changes do you see the Warriors making based on what they do with the 28th pick tonight? Or is it like, they're going to trade down, no big deal, 28th pick?
I find it hard to believe they're going to make a pick at 28 tonight. Mm-hmm. That's just kind of where I know others have written about it, but I feel like that's an easy way to where if there isn't a player that you love in that spot to move down and maybe save a little bit of coin at a time where the Warriors could be looking to save a little bit of coin.
And I thought the same thing because what's that 28th pick going to do?
Yeah.
He's not going to play,
right?
Because if you take Porter, Payton, and Kevon Looney and say those three are all coming back, you find a way to make them come back, well, that's now 11 guys on your roster because you add them to Kuminga, Moody, and Wiseman, and you're starting 5. That's 11 players. So you take your number 28 pick in the draft and you pay him, what, $4 million guaranteed, JD?
Wow.
Or I don't know what the number is, but it is a guaranteed deal to do what? To go to Santa Cruz, basically.
Yeah, and that's what we were talking about in the green room, guys. When you think about a championship team in any sport, Whitey, I was telling the guys, you think that they're perfect and they're flawless, right? And I know that's unrealistic, but I'm being honest. Break out the black card that Joe Lacob has been spending. You got to give him credit for that vantage point, and I don't think he's getting enough credit. Right now, if you recycle Dibs, go Tom Cruise and make all the right moves and bring everybody back, Whitey. You got everything you need, and you got the big fella coming back. So, Dibs and JD and Whitey, that's how I'm looking at this. Like, Gary Payton is Deuce is like a young Iguodala in regard to, hey, Kobe's coming to town. Rest in peace to the Mamba. Go get him. How can you say we don't need that? How can you not have the Geico of Kevon Looney, who turned into Hakeem, for the insurance of Wiseman if he gets hurt again or off to a slow start? So, Joey, you got everything you need in the icebox. Just pay the electric bill.
Yeah, just go ahead and pay Kevon Looney, what, $8 million a year, which, JD, is really $24 million because you're in the 3X mode, right, on luxury tax.
That's
so. But I've been spending Joe Lacob's money since he bought the team.
Look
so,
at you.
For me, I'm with you, Goo. It's an easy call, but I like what you said about the first-round pick because if you take – somebody at 28, now you're on the hook for $4 million and change, which is really $12 million luxury tax-wise for a guy to go to Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
I'd rather trade that pick, get another second-round pick, which is just a body.
And you can save several million dollars just by doing that.
And probably get the same kind of impact player for this year, because you're not looking – I mean, there's not a spot where you're like, we have this need.
Right.
We see a guy. Right. We have to fill that need.
Right. Yeah. And I think it also goes to, you know, that player being behind Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga and even James Wiseman in the pecking order, and whether Porter and Looney and Payton are back, let's say even one or two or even all three of those players aren't back, there's still spots on the roster that, in my opinion at least, would have to be filled by other veterans.
Right.
At least a couple of those, maybe not all three, but at least one or two of those spots would have to be filled by veterans, and that would be a more cost-effective way to spend the money.
And think about what Steph, Clay, and Draymond reportedly went to management and said. It was, hey, we need fewer young guys and more veteran guys in order to make this run. Right. Now, it turned out they didn't, but I can't see Steph, Clay, and Draymond thinking, okay, it's us three, because Kevon's gone and Porter's gone.
Oh.
It's the three of us and a bunch of 21-year-olds. Sounds like a fun year to me.
Yeah. So, Guru, let me ask you this. We know that every team, even when you win a championship, you want to get better because everyone else is getting better.
Gotcha.
Right? You know, it's not like we won a championship, we're good, because everyone else is improving. So do you think the Warrior improvement, other than, you know, some roster tweaks here or there, does most of that probably come from Wiseman, Kuminga, and Moody being better, and Poole too, presumably, because he's pretty young, and Clay rounding into shape? Is that where that improvement comes from?
No doubt. And you would think with this coaching staff and the leaps and bounds from players like you just mentioned, Poole and the rest of the gang, they held it down. And exactly, that's how I would look at it, Waddy, and that's what I would bank on. I just want to say something to you guys, and I hope I don't get in trouble here on the flagship station of the Warriors. But right now, them being the champ and us in euphoria with the parade, the fact that the Kings and Warriors have never played each other in the playoffs, to me, is a travesty. Sacramento, the
it's
city,
not the Warriors'
I've
fault.
Raised two kids there. I have a home there, Dibs. JD, am I wrong to root for them to get better? Like, I want them to nail tonight with Mike Brown so they can at least get better and we can see the Warriors and the Kings battle of I-80 in the offs, JD. Does that make me a bad person?
No, it doesn't make you
I'm tired of them being on the mat.
It doesn't make you a bad person. However, I will also say I could not care any less. I could not care less.
The five of his own. He did a...
I could not care
There we
less.
Go.
Basically.
Yeah. The problem, Goo, with that is no one cares, but, you know, Sacramento is like, we're going to make the playoffs next year, rather than having the wherewithal, as the Warriors did, to build something gradually. And the,
well, they messed
Kings,
up,
like,
Whitey.
We
got to
make the playoffs next year like Minnesota did. You're nothing like Minnesota. Wow. So I think you're going to don't hold your breath over that playoff dream.
All right.
Well, do you remember the last time that they even made the playoffs in the same year? Do you remember what year that was?
I do not.
It was in the, early 80s?
I don't think it exists.
Yeah, I don't.
I mean, I'm going.
Incredible. Well, not in the Sacramento era, it doesn't.
Right.
I know that
for a
fact.
I'm going back in time
well,
right now.
Well, that's all we're talking about. It never happened.
Well, because they both stunk for a long time, and then the Kings had that little flurry while the Warriors still stunk.
Right.
And then the Kings flurry
was
over.
The We Believe year was the year after the last year that Sacramento
Close.
Made.
Exactly.
Close.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
But you're not wrong to want, and I would love for Sacramento
and Mike Brown too.
Yeah. But if I put my head on my pillow and I do my sports prayers as I do every night,
that ain't in it.
I don't think it's in the top 75 of sports prayers. I mean, I'm going to pray for this LPGA championship to get closer, because right now the leader's up by 7.
Well, how about you pray? Because I turned on the TV last night and watched the scam that was the Royals versus A's at Oakland. Pray for the A's to get a real owner.
Absolutely.
I'll leave that there. Is sad, man.
Yeah.
And the
we had Howard
have
Terminal,
quit.
Terminal on
they
the show.
They have
there.
Mentally quit, and they don't even know they quit.
Yeah, we had Howard Terminal on the show earlier today.
Exclusive booking. I got to go. Odyssey.com.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, I'll go find it.
It was a short interview, but
very short.
Needless to say, Howard wasn't feeling great today.
Yeah.
He shouldn't.
Yeah. JD, I have a question for you.
Sure.
And I know that
Hope
we don't
answer.
Know what the rosters are going to look like here, so it's premature. We haven't even had the draft. What team right now, if you're the Warriors, what team concerns you the most going into next year? Obviously, it's your own team, but other than your own team, who concerns you the most? Dibs and I actually agreed on this.
I would probably say it's still the Memphis Grizzlies.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wow. There you go.
I think they are the closest team to having the opportunity to beat the Warriors, let's say, in a playoff series in the West or in the Western Conference.
And I thought about why I felt that way, and it's because they're athletic.
Go ahead.
They can play on both ends of the floor. They've got swagger, and I think that because they can defend, it gives the Warriors some sort of problems. Like Boston gave the Warriors problems at times in the series because of that same thing. They can be younger, faster, and more athletic, and they can play defense. And the other team, Whitey and I both kind of agreed on, below the radar, Minnesota, as a team on the rise who, you know, I'm not saying that, you don't want Minnesota in a best of seven. I still think the Warriors handle that, but Minnesota's a team that is built to give the Warriors some problems down the road.
That's a great answer, guys. And Whitey, you know, I'm in the lab watching these games back after the fact, and I said to myself, not taking anything from the champs, the Warriors, but I said, what happened to those CYO turnovers? What happened to those head-scratching turnovers? But that made me appreciate the Grizzlies man for man on that roster with what Dibs just said. Their athleticism from top to bottom was something that bothered the Warriors. Well, and I'm like, Boston, as great as they are, JD, couldn't do that to the degree that I know I saw Memphis do it game in, game out. So credit to the Warriors, but Memphis is for real.
I think there's also an appetite, Whitey, for Memphis as a younger team to get better and accept the challenge, right? They talked a lot of mess at the Warriors, still doing it. The Warriors hit them back. And I think, you know, a young team that believes that they have the ability in the next couple of years to get where the Warriors have been, I think there's just an added challenge of believing that they can get better. There's a level that they haven't quite been able to tap yet that's still attainable for them.
They just got to figure out, okay, what do we do? How do we get from here to there? Boston, same thing, right? And it looks pretty obvious with them. We got to find somebody who can run the offense. But that's where it gets so tricky. Memphis had such a fine year. And as you know, JD, a truly special season. Okay, what do we do to take that next step? Do we stay with what we have? Do we have to add? What do we add? That's where it gets so very tricky here in this offseason.
And that's the beauty of kind of where the Warriors are. Yeah. They have, you know, the three, I guess, high profile for this team, free agents. I don't think the league is looking at Otto Porter Jr., Gary Payton II, or Kevon Looney as high profile free agents. But in our little championship bubble, it's those three. But JD's right. If you don't have Otto Porter Jr., you're going to look for the next Otto Porter Jr. Who out there is a 6'7", you know, multiple.
Can't that be Kuminga?
I mean, it could be, but honestly, you need a guy.
No, he can't shoot.
And he's a young kid. I don't think that you're ready to go into a playoff push next year with Moody, Kuminga, Poole, and Wiseman, all four of them being in your 8-man rotation.
Wow. Hey, Dibs, I know we got to go here. Before we go,
take your time, Whitey.
I mean, you're already home, for God's sake.
Yeah. How much time we got?
Where you got to go, Whitey?
I
got to
let the dog out.
Exactly.
I got to let Moby out.
Dog's ready at noon.
Totally.
Got out the ball, man.
Dibs came up with something really interesting, and I wanted to get your guys' opinion on it, if I could, your opinions. The Warriors, their top five that they took, this is since 2000. Yeah.
Yep.
Top five they took in the lottery, top five they took outside of the lottery. Which is a better starting five?
Which is a better five?
Okay. It's amazing.
Yeah, you've got your lottery five, which is obviously Steph and Clay. And help me, Whitey, if you have
Jay Rich.
Yeah, Jason Richardson is in that top five.
Barnes, we decided.
Harrison Barnes. And was it Jonathan Kuminga we put in?
We had Kuminga. We were thinking about Dunleavy. I think we went with Kuminga.
Yeah, the lottery five.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, five guys since 2000.
Yeah. No Wiseman in that group. Wow.
No, he doesn't make the starting five. I mean, we took Kuminga instead of not Arenas, because Gilbert Arenas is on our non-lottery five.
Right, right.
Your non-lottery five is good because you've got Monte, Jordan Poole, you've got Gilbert Arenas, Draymond Green, and Kevon Looney.
This is not a joke, but
I mean,
is there any Warrior fan listed or walking the earth that would take Team Two?
I think Team One, you have Clay and you have Steph on Team One.
Yeah, so that's the answer.
Right.
Yeah.
Night.
Yeah,
but, I like that.
I mean, it just speaks to what we were talking about with the 28th pick, where five times outside the lottery in however many years, which I know is not that frequent, but that's a pretty good non-lottery five there when you talk about Draymond Green, who's a Hall of Famer. Monte Ellis is a great player. Kevon Looney's turned out to be a Hall of Fame piece for this team.
So that's interesting. You guys have a split decision on that, don't you?
Well, Dibs is the only one that went team two. JD and I.
No, they're both on team team lottery.
I'm team. Right. Yeah,
this is sweet.
We're both team lottery, but it also, I mean, just running through that team two, it's almost making me want to. Hey, they need to just make the pick tonight. Be damned!
Yeah.
Just make the pick tonight at 20.
Well, I'll tell you who you won't pick. Wadi, I know you got to go get Moby, but I just want your thoughts on this.
He's fine.
Yeah. I was in the lab. I went Hubie Brown, and I'm looking at these possible lottery picks. Can you guys give me the skinny on Chet Holmgren? I don't like the project. We saw it with Wiseman. You got the strength or you don't. And I don't know if those legs are going to be able to hold up to where he can be a monster level.
I'm with
you. I'm rooting for the kid.
I think I'd be 100% wrong. I was telling Dibs, if I was in charge of making a decision, I don't know that I could pick him that high because he's really skilled, I know. But he's just so – he's like 7'1", 106
yeah,
or whatever
that ain't
he weighs.
Good.
196.
Oh, 196.
Yeah. I wish I was 196. But, yeah, go, you know.
Well, let me ask both of you and all three of you, really. It's different for JD because he's gone the other way. But when you were 19 or 20, how much did you weigh – versus when you became an actual grown man?
About 40. I know what you're saying.
This guy, he's not going to ever be 7'1", 300, but he's going to get bigger and he's going to get more muscular.
Well, give me Sean Bradley didn't do it. Give me, and that's a
what
bad,
Whitey said. My comp
but give
is
me
Mike
the
Dunn,
guy
maybe.
That has done that to where the big that has done that and turned into the monster. Every time we start this process, I feel like we never get to the end because it never happens.
I'd have to look at Dwight Howard as a rookie. Now, he wasn't that skinny, but he wasn't the sculpted bum that he turned out to be.
Well, he had some broad shoulders, but I'll get
he
wasn't
he may have
Superman.
Had some help, too.
No, I mean, Kevin Durant's really
wow,
put on some
size. Wow, cheap shot, Whitey.
Anybody remember how skinny Shaq was compared to what he became?
True. That's a good point.
True.
Yeah.
Shaq, the other thing. And I'm with you, Goo. I don't know that I could take him, but you know, so many bigs, like Yao is a classic example. They get so big, and Zion maybe too. Dibs, we talked about him. Their just lower extremities can't support the weight.
Amazing.
And that won't be a problem with Chet Holmgren.
I'm not saying Chet Holmgren is going to be Kevin Durant.
Okay.
But he's built like Kevin Durant, and he plays.
That's a damn good.
He plays a lot more like Kevin Durant or wants to than he does Sean Bradley. I mean, he fancies himself as a small forward, this guy, who can also protect at the rim.
And KG did put on enough weight to where it wasn't super girl, but to where he wasn't no punk.
Yeah, famously, and I can't bench 135 either, but I'm not a pro athlete.
Was that KG?
135. That's one plate. I heard you yesterday talking about two plates either
side. And
Damon
Bruce came in over the top after. I was like, dude, you can't do it. I said, video coming this weekend.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. And Damon, I think, fancied himself a football player once upon a time.
Yeah.
Not at Indiana.
But. I remember Damon and who did we have?
I think in the state of Indiana.
Back in the day. You guys don't remember what I remember. Yeah. They were talking about their football acumen. Last thing.
Yeah.
I didn't forgot.
JD and Goo coming up next.
Let me ask you. Yeah, JD, what do you guys got coming up?
Well, we're going to get into the conversation. We got Bob Fitzgerald's going to join us at 12:30 here,
get
so looking forward
Twitter.
To that. Ryan McDonough as well, as we'll talk about the draft and a little bit of the NBA offseason. But the big part of the conversation is going to surround Kevon Looney, Gary Payton II, and Otto Porter Jr. If those three are gone, is it really enough for Wiseman, Moody, and Kuminga to just step in? Is it plug and play? Warriors have enough if that's the way that they go, and what happens at 28 tonight? So all of that for the next 2 hours and 43 minutes.
I'm looking forward to it.
Whitey, last thing I remember. Yeah. It's coming
all right,
back
good.
To me.
Good.
My guy, Ryan Tyshawn Jackson out of Union City, is putting together a Dibs versus Guru tennis match. Ooh. You cannot hurt my feelings, and JD, you can't either. But if you were at the counter right now and you had to bet on who would win that match between me and my man, which way would you go?
I know
won't be
Dibs,
hurt.
I don't even know if you play tennis, and maybe you do, but I don't know. And I know Dibs used to be – they used to call him the human backboard because he just stand at that baseline, boom, boom, boom. Right now, I'd go with Dibs.
Okay. You, how about you, JD?
I would lean Dibs.
Okay.
I would lean Dibs, but I think you'd be pretty comfortable on the tennis court.
Okay.
Do you play tennis?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah. But to win, the fact that you don't think I... Yeah, there we go. We'll leave it at that. Yeah.
We got a lot of videos to look forward to.
Yeah, absolutely. Have fun, guys. Dibs, back with you tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it. As I say, JD and Guru next right here on 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.